Time to talk the latest in the NFL with Sports Illustrated writer and NFL Hall of Fame voter Howard Balzer. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joe Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Welcome back into the Killer Bees. Time now to chat with Howard Balzer, NFL Hall of Fame voter, joining us in the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Howard, have you seen a worse offense than you saw from the Houston Texans on Sunday against Arizona?
Yeah, it was another tough outing for them, and it's obviously it's going to be a long haul, and you know certainly the inexperience of quarterback is certainly a part of it. They'd be better with Tyrod Taylor. How much better remains to be seen, but obviously they hang in. I'll say this about them: they certainly go out and play hard. They give it all. Of course, some would argue, well, that's what you're supposed to do when you're a professional athlete. But it can be tough when you're not very good and you're overmatched against certain teams. So, you know, they hung in for about as long as they could. But as we've seen of this team all year, they're bad in the second half. They ran into a team that's been incredible in the second half, and so. The result was pretty much, I think, what most everybody expected.
Howard, you're around the team on a daily basis, being the Cardinals, and we know what J.J. Watt has meant to the community, but we also know when it comes time to press conferences, he is basically close to the vest, proper PC answers. But you could see during the course of that game, he had multiple conversations with the Texans' offensive line to basically say, you can't stop me. You can't hold me. I had thought Hopkins was going to go off two for a hundo and at least two touchdowns. But it seems like, as much as they publicly didn't want to say it, there was a little extra juice in the tank because of this game. Did you get that sense in the post game in talking to any of those guys?
Yeah, you know, you did. Although, you know, they did not make J.J. Watt available, which was somewhat disappointing. And in this COVID world where we can't get in the locker room, you're at the mercy of the team of who they decide to give you. And Hopkins was available, and he kind of sloughed it off and said, hey, I didn't want to make a big deal of this. You know, we have a lot we're trying to accomplish as a team, and it was just another game. But, you know, even Cliff Kingsbury acknowledged afterwards that they had a bunch of other stuff called for him that it just didn't work out in terms of getting the ball to DeAndre Hopkins. And the one thing about Kyler Murray, I have to say, for this year is that because of all the added weapons that this team has, that he doesn't feel he has to look only to Hopkins because they can get the ball to so many different guys. The big third down play when the game was still, you know, relatively close to A.J. Green, the touchdown pass to Zach Ertz, who had been with the team for 9 days. So he's spreading the ball around very good. And so I think that was a part of why they didn't get it to Hopkins enough, you know, that much. But that's the way it's been pretty much all season in terms of using a lot of the different weapons that this team has on offense.
How big is it for this game, the game of the weekend coming up in the NFL, and how crazy it is a Thursday night on national TV? But it's Cardinals-Packers. It's ideally on a night in which the World Series has a day off, and everybody gets to see this Cardinals team if you've been missing it. How big are they prepared to make this a showcase game and say, hey, you know, everybody's kind of writing us off even though we're undefeated because there's so many other good teams with all these different veteran players and otherwise, but it seems like this is a game in which they can show the entire world what you guys have been seeing on a daily basis.
No, I think you're 100% right. And you don't want to make too much of that and to say, well, this is what we want to do, because the one thing that this team has done very well, and I think J.J. Watt has been a part of that, a lot of the other veterans they've brought in, is just to treat every game as you know, obviously, you know, they have a mantra of going 1-0 every week, which is what everybody talks about, but they've done a pretty good job of doing that and going out and doing it. And I think they have to realize to stay within themselves and you just go out and play as good football as they can. But certainly you want to look good on national TV. You want to show the NFL world that you are, quote, for real. But, I mean, heck, you know, the games they've won on the road, I mean, they beat Cleveland on the road. They beat Tennessee on the road. They beat the Rams on the road. So, but, you know, in their minds, they're just going out and playing the way that they expect to play. But certainly a challenge against, you know, a Green Bay Packers team with Aaron Rodgers, although they won't have Devontae Adams. I'm sure deep down they're looking at that as quote, a showcase game. But they also know they just can't put too much into it like that. You just have to go out there and play the way they're capable of.
Hall of Fame voter Howard Balzer, NFL insider, joining us on the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. That Packers game on Thursday, I mean, maybe the best game on the slate in the NFL this week, and now Devontae Adams out. Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator, will not be calling plays. He is out as well. A little worried there that, you know, a game has been diluted a little bit because of COVID.
Yeah, it has been. And, of course, you know, Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator, spoke today, and Cliff Kingsbury, you know, they always say the same thing. Well, it really doesn't change our plan when a guy like Devontae Adams isn't there. And Vance Joseph pointed out how Aaron Rodgers has still been successful in games when Adams hasn't played. But it's certainly, when you look at it, makes things a little different for the defense that you're not worrying about him. Obviously, you know what Aaron Rodgers can do to carve up a team, but you don't have to worry about accounting for the presence of a guy like Devontae Adams. So, yeah, it definitely, you know, diminishes it somewhat. But, you know, again, when you have Aaron Rodgers playing in the game and they're 6-1 and the Cardinals undefeated and with Kyler Murray playing the way that he is playing, I still think there's a lot of juice that will be in this game, and it should be a heck of a competitive game. And who knows? I mean, there's still a lot of football to be played, but this game could go a long way towards determining a seed in the playoffs. And who knows? Maybe number one seed in the postseason when we get to January. So it's a very meaningful game, obviously, for both teams, and maybe a little more for the Cardinals because they have the Rams nipping at their heels in terms of the division race. But, you know, still, it's, you know, you want to beat the good teams on your schedule, especially in front of the home fans.
Yeah, you know, Howard, and admittedly, as our listeners know, I'm a diehard Green Bay Packer fan, but I'm also a realist. And I think that they're right now currently, because of the injuries, they have like 5 or 6 guys out on defense. And they don't have one of the best left tackles in the game back yet in Bakhtiari. But it's unfortunate they're going into this game and they are completely dinged up. If Adams doesn't play, in my opinion, and I don't know what you think, getting Chandler Jones back too for their defense, but I would think that it's going to be the focus is going to be on Arizona's run defense because I think that the Packers are going to try and go into ball control mode a lot more because Adams is such a big weapon for Rodgers. I think Aaron Jones is going to get a ton of touches. I think that they're going to change their offensive philosophy simply because Adams isn't in the lineup. And that's unfortunate for a game of this magnitude on national TV.
Well, no, it's a great point. And that's one area in the first 7 games where at times the Cardinals have struggled a little bit is against the run. And they know what the Packers are going to come at them. And not only with Jones, but Dillon. And they're two different types of backs. So the one area where the Cardinals have been unbelievable is on third down. And they're one of the top teams in the league in getting other teams off the field on third down. Now, obviously, you got to get a team to third down for that to occur. But that could end up being a big difference, you know, in this game. Are those third down plays, and can the Packers extend drives and hold the ball, and perhaps, you know, keep the ball out of the Cardinals' hands consistently? And I think that'll be an interesting game within a game. But, you know, the Cardinals are a little bit banged up. Their starting center, Max Garcia, who's a backup to Rodney Hudson, who's on injured reserve. We don't know the extent of it, but he was not at practice today. He suddenly showed up on the injury report yesterday with an Achilles injury, even though he played every snap that the starting offensive line played on Sunday. So don't know if he's going to be available, but the Cardinals might have to be dipping into their third-string center. But who knows? They've overcome injuries on the offensive line so far, but the center spot, we know how important that is going against whatever defense another team puts out there. So I think it's an intriguing matchup on a lot of levels. And, hey, obviously we'll see how it plays out on a short week, which is always tough for teams in the NFL.
NFL insider Howard Balzer joining us on the HRMP guest line. Howard, a couple teams in the AFC that I've been really impressed about, and I want to get your opinion. Cincinnati with a statement victory against Baltimore, and Tennessee back-to-back wins now over Buffalo and Kansas City.
Yeah, they're playing very well. And if you look at them, the Raiders, you mentioned Cincinnati, and of course Baltimore. I believe they're the 4 teams that are all tied with 5-2 records in the AFC. But you know, Cincinnati has been a revelation. And I'll tell you, I go back to the draft when there was universal criticism of the Bengals for not taking an offensive tackle with that, was I think 5th overall pick in the first round because Joe Burrow had got hurt last year, and they said, "Oh, you got to get a tackle. You got to get a tackle. You got to get a tackle." And what they do, they took Burrow's teammate at LSU, Ja'Marr Chase, and what's he done? I mean, he's on track to be Offensive Rookie of the Year, over 200 yards on Sunday, and Burrow's playing lights out. And don't sleep on that defense. That Bengals defense is pretty good. So that's a heck of a story Tennessee is, like you said, and the Raiders, too, with the way the Chiefs are struggling right now. I think the AFC West has become wide open with the Raiders in the hunt and also the Chargers. So there's going to be a lot of interesting things play out in the AFC over the second half of the season.
Trade deadline next Tuesday. Howard, you are in the know in a lot of ways, talking to a lot of people, and obviously here there's a certain quarterback that people can't get out of their mouths. Although we keep saying, you know, it's hard to believe that any team is willing to trade for him until all the other stuff is put to rest. And you know, as late in the week last week, the rumors were coming out that a trade was imminent. What are you hearing in terms of the trade deadline overall, and especially as it relates to a certain quarterback here in Houston?
Yeah, well, I'm hearing all the same things that everybody is hearing. I'm like you. I find it just incredulous that any team would trade anything of value for Deshaun Watson right now, considering the situation. You have no clue, you have no idea really when and if he's going to be able to play. And consider this as well. And this is the tough spot the Texans are in, because everyone says, well, just sit on him. You're not going to get value in draft picks now. Just wait and hope that there's clarity next year and you can trade him. Well, when could it be next year? Deshaun Watson, you know, it's relatively inexpensive for him to be on the roster this year, salary-wise and salary cap-wise. Next year, guys, his salary cap number is $40 million. And even though you don't have to pay the $35 million in salary until the season starts, if he's on the roster, commissioner's exempt list or whatever it might be next year, that it still counts against the cap at the start of the league year in March. And that can hamstring a team that's trying to rebuild and add some pieces to a team to hope for it to improve. So that's the pickle, really, that the Texans are in, and when to pull the trigger if there is truly a team that's willing to do it. So it's a very convoluted situation. We don't know when, like I said, it's going to have clarity. And to me, for a team to bring him in, it's crazy. It's crazy, unless it's such a friendly deal that, you know, that there's no reason not to do it. But why the Texans would do that? Well, a lot could be rolling on what that salary situation is next year if he's just sitting like he is this year.
Howard, great stuff as always. Enjoy the short week. You'll get a weekend to kind of hang out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, actually. It was a game Thursday and being able to see a lot of games around and not have a crazy weekend. But thanks, guys. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Thanks, Howard.
It's Howard Balzer, Hall of Fame voter, our NFL insider on the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. All right, when we return, trying to make more sense of Jose Urquidy going in Game 2 of the World Series. Also, we got a World Series to preview. Let's take a look position by position. Who has the edge at the positions across the diamond? That's next. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, before we go to the break, I'm going to tell you about New Breaks. You know, I only speak for companies that I truly believe in. And most of the time, it's because I've used them and I've had personal experiences. Well, I've got personal experiences with New Breaks. And that's why all the listeners that have hit me up and wanted to use New Breaks have come back to me and said, oh, my God, it was everything you said and more. It was painless. It was easy. They did a great job. It took no time at all. I was at work. I was in meetings. I didn't even have to blink an eye. Just leave my keys at the front desk. Same thing if they came to your house, in your garage, in your driveway, while you're doing other things, cutting the lawn, watching a game, doing whatever you are doing, multitasking. They're doing your breaks. Certified technicians doing the work. Not trying to upsell you because all they do is breaks. Competitive prices with any brake shop in town. And the main thing is you are saving time, which is saving money, because instead of waiting in a waiting room, they're doing it, coming to you while you do what you do. Check out nubrakes.com. Mention ESPN 97.5 for a 10% discount. Set up that appointment and find out what me and so many of our listeners have found out firsthand. There is no place to go other than New Breaks. If you're getting your brakes fixed, that's nubrakes.com, nubrakes.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.